documenting the crisis of our republic, waging war on the new world order. This is Govern America. Govern America.
Well, just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, micro-FM stations all across the country, and streaming live from FEMA Region 5 and Michigan Planning Region 2, this is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, along with Vicki Davis. Nice to have you with us as we once again document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today is the 23rd of September, 2017, the very first broadcast of the fall. And boy, you wouldn't know it by the temperatures here in southern Michigan. It has been, I think, right around the mid-90s every single day. Mid-90s, mid-80s. I don't know. It's been hot. It's been really, really hot. And so it's just nothing like... I think the last time I talked about the weather on the broadcast, I said there was a crispness in the air. Well, there's no crispness in the air anymore.
It is here.
Is it?
Yeah. They announced on the TV weather that it was going to be snowing in the mountains. Now, mind you, when they did that, it was like a beautiful, warm day outside, you know, like summer. And they announced, like, winter is here, and then, boom, it's cold, and it's been cold, and it stayed cold.
Well.
So. It's like they just flipped the switch. That's it. Summer's over.
They flipped the switch on the weather machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's nice to be here on our last broadcast. Why do I say our last broadcast? Because today's the end of the world. Did you know that?
Oh.
Did you know that, Vicki?
Well, you know what? I heard some. I saw some rumors of end of the world, and I did get an email asking me to participate in some visioning kind of thing.
Visioning.
You know, vision. Give us, you know, work on your vision of heaven. You know, what would you like the world to be?
Wow, that sounds like a song. Let's see, imagine there's no heaven. Oh no, that's something else. Easy if you try.
Yeah.
No, but it's official. It's made it into the broadcast, the commercial broadcast realm.
Is it the end of the world as we know it, or just a hacker's hoax?
Orange County cable customers heard the ominous prediction on the air today that the world is going to end Saturday.
KCAL 9's Stacey Butler live in Lake Forest tonight. Stacey.
Well, Lena and Jeff, we've all seen those warnings, the test of the emergency broadcast system flash across our TV screens. But it's what happened immediately after that that has many across Southern California shocked.
By the way, it's not the emergency broadcast system anymore. She's evidently a pioneer, you know, been in the business for a while. It is now the emergency alert system.
And what they saw. You were watching what flashed across some television screens in Southern California just after 11 o'clock this morning. Some heard what started as an emergency alert and turned into a warning of the end of the world.
You can't even make out what the guy's saying.
Irvine mom was shocked.
Because I kind of questioned what it was and asked somebody else that was in the house, what do you think this is? I've never seen anything like this before. It was weird.
She's not the only one. On YouTube, another Orange County woman posted the same bizarre emergency alert. And another viewer saw the alert seconds before the station returned to C-SPAN. Tonight on social media, hundreds are commenting on the end of the world prediction. One woman said, I saw it too. A woman who lives in West Hills said she saw it while watching a show on Time Warner Spectrum. From USA Today to online chat rooms, there's a lot of talk about this Saturday, September 23rd. Some conspiracy theorists are predicting on that date a new planet is supposed to collide with the Earth. something scientists say won't happen. A spokesperson at Cox told us today's alert wasn't an end times message at all. It was someone's mistake, possibly an Orange County radio station, and maybe even a hacker. In a statement issued tonight, a spokesperson said the radio station that sent the alert didn't turn off their programming when the alert ended. For a short time, some heard programming that was on the radio. Now, some suspect that it may have been a well-known evangelical pastor. He does broadcast every day at 11 a.m., and he broadcasts from an Orange County radio station nearby. So it's possible that it was him. No one knows for sure. Cox and Spectrum don't know yet, but we will certainly find out more. And the big question is how his message, if it was him, ended up as part of an emergency alert today. That's the latest from Lake Forest. Back to you guys in the studio.
All right, Stacey. Thank you.
We're all going to die. Whoa. We're all going to die. It's the one sure thing on which every living thing can rely. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Everyone so far has died, too. There's not a thing that you can do, and you and me and us, we're all going to die.
There you go.
I like that. Hey, isn't that the same thing that happened in that story about Guy Fawkes? Didn't he break into a TV and broadcast a message or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, good catch.
And also, that is what I believe happened on 9/11. I think that the towers were set for standard, well, not standard, because they were incredible buildings, but
obviously they were wired with charges.
Controlled demolition.
Yeah.
And we old people say the emergency broadcast network, but I thought that was probably a feed by some news organization, perhaps Sky One, because they had the helicopter out there, fed into the emergency broadcast network, and it was picked up and broadcast and rebroadcast and rebroadcast and rebroadcast. You know, the planes flying into the towers.
Yeah, well, see, that's what's supposed to happen with the emergency broadcast system, or what is now the emergency alert system. Now, there have been a number of cases where the emergency alert system has been hacked. In this case, what it sounds like to me, and I can only theorize what actually happened, sometimes if you have a primary, and this has happened occasionally, what happens is it sends an electronic, you know, what we call in the business, the duck farts. That's what, you know.
Oh, yeah. That.
You know, okay, uh-huh. then they have the that's the opening, you know, beginning of message. And then they broadcast the message. And then at the end, it's supposed to have it, you know, and then that's telling it to quit. It's the end of message, and what may have happened is it didn't receive the end of message, or they didn't send one. The primary station didn't send one, and as a result, their programming, whatever happened to be on, which may have been that doomsday announcement, was rebroadcast at other stations, and people didn't know what it was.
Uh huh.
That's a possibility, but I'm not saying that's what happened or not.
Well, it's it could be a hack into it, you know, in which case you wouldn't get the alert and then the ending alert. But I'm absolutely sure that the video feed for 9/11 probably came from Building 7.
Yeah, well, the thing about this whole emergency alert system, I think, in my opinion, it's just about outlived its usefulness.
Uh-huh.
Because now they want to advance it to smartphones and everything else. And in fact, they do have it available in smartphones. I mean, there's a thing in smartphones that, literally, if the president wanted to send a message, and this has never, to my knowledge, been tested. But if the White House wanted to send out a message, you can't disable it in your smartphone. The way they're building them now, you can't turn off emergency messages from the White House.
I've had a few of those alerts, amber alerts, and the way that it alerts
the amber
you
alerts. Yeah, that just drives me crazy. Don't get me started on the amber alerts.
Those are
notifications. Nine times out of ten, it's a non-custodial parent that took their own kid or some other relative that didn't agree with a court decision, and the court probably gave the child to a parent that is a drug addict, and the decent parent kidnaps the child from the drug addict and, you know, addicted parent. And then you got, we got a kidnapping here. Let's send out an Amber Alert. I mean, it's things like that, it seems like. I mean, we've got to where we don't even run them anymore at the station I work at.
You don't do those anymore?
No, you don't have to run them. You don't have to run Amber Alerts. They're not required. Oh. They're not a threat to the public.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's ridiculous. When this whole thing came along, and it was a long time ago, I remember when, I'm thinking, we're using this system, which is meant as an emergency type of situation for the public. We've now crossed the threshold now to start using it for law enforcement purposes of other matters, which does what? It dumbs down the system and makes it to the point where people are going to start paying less attention to the alerts because they're getting alert fatigue. I mean, when you've got alerts constantly, I mean, how many people pay attention to, for instance, car alarms? When a car alarm goes off, you just kind of roll your eyes, don't you? I mean, you don't think anybody's really stealing a car. You just think, some moron has let his car alarm go off and he's, I shouldn't say moron, that's not kind, but you know what I'm saying. People just
all you have to do is touch a car that has an alarm and it will go off. So if you accidentally bump into it, that used to happen frequently in New York, because when people do find parking places, they really get packed in tight, mm-hmm. So if you're a pedestrian and you want to cross, mid-block or something, you accidentally touch their car, it could set the alarm off.
Yeah, so nobody pays attention to it because it happens all the time. And and this is the same thing with the Amber Alert. I mean, the Amber Alert with the emergency alert system. There's no point in having a system like this if it's going to take away from real emergencies. I mean, weather is one thing. And I would argue that weather is probably a good thing to alert people to. Even if it's not in your immediate area, it's a good thing to know about weather. But and those trigger it plenty of times. But sending out Amber Alerts, it drives me nuts. I told you, it's probably not good to get me started on this.
Well, they send out Amber Alerts, to here in Twin Falls for things that are something happening in Boise. Hell, I can't do anything about that. I can't even look for anything because it's in Boise, 120 miles away.
Right.
So why are you telling me?
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, we got a call on the line already. And folks, you're welcome to call in if you want. 1-844-646-8376. Toll free 844-6-GOVERN. That's 844-646-8376. Let's go to the phones. Hello, caller. Who do we have here?
Yeah, Darren. Sam calling.
Hi, how you doing?
No, not too bad. I wanted to comment. There were several of these messages that went out depending upon what system you were on Thursday because... there was one that there's the one you played, and that's the same one I found when I was looking around, on YouTube that people had posted. Uh-huh. And there was another one that was posted also. First of all, the one you had, and it's the first one I found, was the emergency alert and then a blurb from Pastor Chuck Swindoll, who's a pastor
who's
on a lot of Christian radio stations.
Right.
And that was the one you had, and that was the one I had. In fact, I also found a link to the clear audio of the exact same thing when I was researching this out. Then there was another one that got sent out on a few other cable systems that same time that was apparently this frantic, emotional guy that called in on Art Bell's show, Coast to Coast, back when he was on, back in 97, talking about the end of the world and how there were so many things the government didn't want us to know, and this was coming down and all this kind of stuff. I don't remember the whole thing, but I remember two different clips. And this is why I'm wondering if somehow this didn't wind up being a coordinated effort, because the fact that they depend on what cable system you were on is what you got.
I was kind of leaning toward it just being something that was an explainable situation where the closing end of message trigger didn't happen. But now that you say this, this leads me to believe otherwise.
Yeah,
it's almost like they're trying to...
It's
like a new test of the War of the Worlds type of scenario.
Yeah,
that's what I
right.
thought.
If I can find the other one, I'll post it in your directory later. You know, on your on FTP, so you can have the other one. I mean, I don't want to beat this horse to death, but yet by the same token, this is the same kind of BS we had that went down. Remember in back out east before that big train wreck that happened last fall, I think it was. Remember that big train wreck that happened out there, and then they had that a few days before that train wreck, they had that emergency alert message that went out that said, "Could you on a train?"
Oh yeah, I had forgotten about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know any time, and I don't want to cause fear amongst the people, but we know that they always like to before they get ready to do something, they like to forewarn. You know, before 9/11, we saw warnings of things to come, burning towers on album covers, things like that. So,
that adds to the terror after the fact, you know, as people's memories return. So it does serve a purpose.
We're living one big, massive psychological operation today.
That's exactly right, and that's what I was writing about this morning. I've written a major piece about the Russian hack story. I know you don't want to hear the Russian hack story anymore. but
I was tired of hearing the Russian hack story months ago.
But it's not.
But they keep hammering it.
It's not about the Russians hacking our election. You know, forget that whole storyline. Mm-hmm. What it is about what they believe to be Russian information operations and psychological and information warfare on the internet. And there was a Russian general called Valery Gerasimov who wrote a paper about hybrid warfare. Mm-hmm. And in the paper that I was reading this morning, paper, his name was Andrew something, I'm sorry, I can't remember it, but I'll give you the link for it. He called it ambiguous warfare, which is really, if you think about what's going on in this country with us out here talking about things that we see, Washington, D.C., totally oblivious to it, it is ambiguous warfare. Or, as Thomas Barnett called it, war in the context of everything else.
Got it. Yep. Exactly.
And So that's really what the story is. It's not Russian hacking. That was a gambit by the DNC.
No, what they're talking about is hacking people's minds. And
there's
the problem. They don't want us having the free flow of ideas, the free flow. And by the way, I went through and I saw your article last night, and I clipped some of the audio that you had clipped. Or I mean, I took the audio that you had. So I got your audio, in other words. So we'll explore some of that. But anyway, Sam, did you have anything else?
No, I was just going to say that's pretty much all I had, but I just wanted to, I'll just leave you with this. The other thing that's driving me nuts with everybody, this, they were having a field day with this, a lot of people that were posting on YouTube with this end of the world BS that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I am more and more and more, with each and every passing day, with the stuff I see, I'm beginning to think that the whole reading of Revelations that so many Christians do and various other people do is more psychological warfare than it is truth, because there are also people that can show you other passages of Scripture that have said that all things have been already fulfilled, and you know, of course, my attitude has always been, you want to talk about the end of the world, ask some of the Christians over in the Sudan who are being persecuted and have been persecuted for years, and they don't have anybody with a golden rope coming to rescue them. But I see all this BS going on all over the place regarding this end of the world stuff. We got enough real things on our hands to deal with. We don't need people just guessing and throwing stuff out there to add to the problem.
Well, I think if you got the people that are doing it, whoever's behind it, it could be the CIA.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we just never know. I mean, there seems to be this desire to drum up the fear factor and make people crazy, and it seems to be working. Wherever you look, people are just absolutely flipping out. I mean, I never thought I'd live to see the degree of societal decay and societal insanity when Trump got the office of the president. I mean, even if you think he's the worst person in the world, the system itself will limit what he's able to do. I mean,
we've lived through so many,
yes,
so many bad presidents.
That's where I was just getting ready to go. So many dictators want to be. I mean, regardless of who you think he is and what you think he'll do, it doesn't warrant that level of insanity. But people have just completely lost their stuff.
Well, guys, carry on. I'm pretty much done here, but I just wanted to fill you in with the rest of that story, because I was first alerted this when Kate's show that we play here on Liberty Radio that was running yesterday, she played a totally different clip, and that's when I got on a research crusade and found that there were actually two of them. And so that adds to the latest. But, you know, my attitude, guys, and I know you guys pretty much understand what I'm saying. I'm talking to the choir here, but let's stick to what we can prove and not what we can't prove, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree
totally. That's all I got.
All right, hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate the information. That's important to know. Very important to know.
Although we are entitled to opinions, and I have mine, and I express those opinions, and I will continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, our opinions are based upon what we're seeing here. And it's not looking pretty, unfortunately. Speaking of opinions, I have an opinion that the PSYOPs are going forward in a big way. The censorship of the internet. I don't think that's an opinion, though. I think that's pretty factual, based upon what Facebook, Google, and the big tech companies are engineering. Before I get to that, though, let me just cover this real quick. Melody out in Colorado sent down a message that was in her local paper. And now we know we've had the hurricanes. We know we've had the recent natural disasters, which may or may not be so natural, depending upon what's really going on there, and how do you get to the bottom of whether weather modification or geoengineering is really being used. There's no way you can really tell. We've had a lot of earthquakes recently. As a matter of fact, there's been a very powerful, I think, magnitude 6+ off the coast of the Fukushima prefecture just within the last day or so. Very, very concerning, given the condition of Fukushima and the nuclear power facility there. But, you know, we had the massive quake in Mexico. These things seem to be stepping up everything. And all of this could just be circumstantial and coincidental, and I understand that. But in a day and age where we know, going back again to the documentation, and plenty has been written about weather modification. There have been plenty of patents that have been filed with the U.S. Patent Office and approved. There are a lot of patents that exist dealing with atmospheric weather modification. And here is a proof, again, that they're actually doing it, that this is actually being used. This legal notice was published in her paper. Notice of intent, and the paper, by the way, is the Mountain Mail, September 14th and the 21st, so it was published twice to give the public legal notice. Notice of intent of a continuous program to modify weather. They say notice is hereby given that the Western Weather Consultants of Durango, Colorado, WWC, has filed with the Colorado Water Conservation Board an application for a 5-year permit to conduct a wintertime ground-based weather modification program. WWC, which is once again the Western Weather Consultants, will conduct the Central Colorado Mountain River Basins Program for the following entities: Colorado River Conservation District, Larry Germstad, manager of WWC, Mike Germstad, assistant manager, head of operations for WWC, and Eric Germstad, head of field operations, are the people in control of the program. When we come back from the break, I'll go ahead and continue sharing this with you. It's not that long, but I think it's important to know. Weather modification is actively going on in the United States. And we can argue about the pros and cons about this, whether it's a good thing, whether it's a bad thing, whether it's just something neutral and not to be concerned about. But I think it does need to be debated across the nation, because this could affect how widespread is this, folks. And this is a case where people are being told about it. Are there cases where people are not being told about it? Are there covert operations taking place? Anyway, we got to take the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back. This is Govern America. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America. By the way, CFR to Hell dropped that link into the chat room from the Mountain Mail. A notice of intent to modify weather, which I was sharing from just before the break. Anyway, we're back. This is Govern America. Before the break, we were sharing from the document, legal notice from the paper, the Mountain Mail, which was published September 14th and the 21st of this year, where they're notifying the public of an intent to modify the weather. Why is this significant? Because we're told, you know, it's like weather modification never existed here in the United States. And now all of a sudden we have proof that they intend to do it, and the public is being told about it, at least in her area. How many areas is it going on that we don't know about? We don't have any way of getting into it.
Well, when I was researching it, I found that Texas does have an Office of Weather Modification.
Yeah, I believe Oklahoma does too. Now, it's been several years since I dug into this again, but I believe Oklahoma does too. And we could debate it. We could, the public could decide whether or not they agree with it, with the whole idea, whether it's, you know, weigh the benefits versus the risks involved. But at least I think the public should know about it. I think people should be aware. And it does call into question anytime there's a storm, or anytime there's a flood, or anytime there's any extreme weather event, whether or not it is being manipulated. It is a result of manipulation.
Right. Exactly right. And they call people conspiracy theorists for thinking that.
That's it.
Except that when you know that they actually do weather modification. Now, the article that you have there is from Colorado, right?
Yes.
So obviously they want to make sure they have a good ski season.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at it What has anybody talked about the ethics of that? What are the ethics of that? You know, because there are chemicals that they're spraying in the air, and anything that is sprayed in the air comes down.
And I come back to the document I was talking about just last week, the assessment from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which one of the working groups in that assessment process came out and advocated for geoengineering as one of the global warming mitigation options. And I'm going to hammer this for a while because saying it once, people can forget about it. But I think repetition is the key. This is something, and I'll try to remember to put it back in the show notes again this week as well. But we linked to the document in the show notes from last week. Anybody can go in there and get that report. But I think people need to be disseminating this as a reality. If weather engineering, geoengineering is fake, if it's a falsehood, why do we have the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change coming out now and advocating for geoengineering as a mitigation option to the objection of some countries, South Korea, I think, being one of them, as I mentioned last week, but there's to the objection of some environmental groups even. The Climate Action Network, I believe, came out against it. So this is real. This is stuff we can prove. So this... go ahead.
You know what? It makes me wonder, and I remember talking to people about this, you know, quite a while ago when I was researching it, if all of these huge fires that are in the forests of our western states, if that has anything to do with the chemicals that are sprayed for weather modification. It's a question. You know, I'm not a scientist, but it seems to me like that if you're spraying things so that it will snow, so that you have a good ski season, you're spraying all the plants, all the trees, all the animals, our water, everything else.
Yeah.
You know, so that one industry can profit.
Well, another thing too that they say, and I don't want to get. Well, maybe we should. I mean, but what one thing I was reading on one of these companies that modify the weather, their website, and they were saying that it's a myth that when you cause it to rain in certain places, you're stealing rain from other places.
Yeah, you know what? I just had a discussion with a guy about that last night.
Their argument was that there's only a small percentage of the moisture from the air that ever, in other words, there's so much moisture in the air, there's only a small amount of it that ever actually falls as rain. So they view it, and of course they've got a commercial purpose for feeling this way, though. But their opinion about the matter is that you're not actually causing it not to rain somewhere else. And I'm not a scientist, so I can't speak to that. I'm just pointing out what the counter argument would be.
Yeah, I just
What's
moisture
that?
Out it if that it doesn't affect the rain somewhere else, because the way the jet stream moves, whatever direction the jet stream is moving, if you pull the moisture out of the air, say here in Idaho, then there's less moisture in the jet stream for North Dakota and South Dakota.
Yeah.
So I don't believe those people. I think that they are speaking from the point of view of their wallet.
Yeah, well, that could very well be, too. Well, we know they're speaking from the point of view of their wallets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be that I can't speak to whether or not what they're saying is true. Let me get through this real quick, and then we'll take the call. So just hang with us just a second longer there, caller. Let's see. It says, and again, this is the legal notice from the Mountain Mail, September 14th and the 21st, they say the permit target area for the CCMRB, which is, again, the Central Colorado Mountain River Basins Program, the target area is the area generally above the elevation of 8,500 feet in the upper Colorado River Basin and a small portion of the upper Arkansas River. The upper Colorado River Basin includes tributaries in Pitkin, Lake, Eagle, Summit, they name off a bunch of counties, with an exclusion area in the 10-mile creek basin near Climax. Counties adjacent to the counties within the permit area but not intended to see any effect from cloud seeding are, and they name off a bunch of counties. The operational period will be November 1st through April 15th for each year for the next 5 years, expiring in 2022. So this is an ongoing weather modification program. They say safeguards are in place to limit weather modification operations by daily monitoring of snowpack, snow water equivalent, avalanche hazard levels, and National Weather Service severe weather statements. The CWCB coordinates daily with permit holders to ensure programs are operated judiciously to minimize danger to the land, health, safety, people, property, and the environment. The WWC has previously held two sequential five-year permits for cloud seeding in the CCMRB target area. So this has evidently been going on for a while. The intended effect of the weather modification operations is to increase precipitation, snowpack, snow water content to benefit natural habitat, agriculture, municipal water, stock growers, recreational and tourism interests, and the local economy. Complete details of the operations to be conducted are available from Western Water Consultants, and they give the address, the email address, and they say the CWCB encourages oral and written comments at the public hearing for the record of decision. And please call Joe Busto, and it gives more information there with address. This link will be in the show notes because we did find the webpage to go with it. The hearing is open to the public. The public should, hearing will be held at the North Branch Library, and they give the address. So this is interesting from the Western Weather Consultants LLC, limited liability company. So there is the notice. Whatever you think of it, we have a couple of calls on the line, and you want to go. You have anything you want to say before we go to the phones there, Vicki?
No, let's okay. Hear what the callers have to say.
All right. This is from Texas. Hello, Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Vicki. How are you doing today?
Hi. Fine, thanks, Lark. How are you?
Nah, this is Steve.
Steve.
Oh, Steve. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We missed your name. I was a little late on the button there. Sorry.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call. You know, the that whole story about the hack in the emergency broadcasting system,
yes.
Hang on here. Okay, love you, babe. Sorry, my wife was just leaving.
It's okay.
that caught me. Well, I don't know. Earlier on this month, what you know is what Sam was talking about. And I remember talking to Farron Shope, probably at the beginning of September, and he was talking about his station. It was an AM broadcast thing, FCC license. And he had had to install a device in there that gives automatic access to, authorities, whatever. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's what the emergency alert system is.
But it's different this September somehow, because, Farron's been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This time, this new equipment, and they keep upgrading the equipment, you had to have a person at the station filling out a form saying whether it went off or not, and you'd have to judge it. But he was kind of telling me he found that very, very odd. So that's one thing that I do know. Now, as well as V for Vendetta using that meme of breaking into the system, uh-huh. We also have They Live, and numerous other TV shows that are doing that. So it could be the PSYOP is really preparing everybody for, this fake emergency broadcast signal that they can push out there easy enough. But the question is, how did they cross the wires so much, right? Are we now vulnerable to hacks into the radio station? Because like in We Live, they tried to wake up the world, getting to them at the TV, and they were putting everybody to sleep with the TV. So that's what I know. I know that Farron said that they were making some changes, and I'm still waiting for the day that all of a sudden somebody's face appears on the television around me, and all the smartphones go off, and all of a sudden we're in mass broadcast land. Going to be a strange day, but we're heading that way. Perhaps that was predictive programming is all my real thought was.
Yeah. Well, I can't argue with anything you say. I know programming is a key word there because
yeah. We
are definitely, they are definitely trying to program the public. And I keep using the word public. Everyone's an individual. But the point is that they're definitely blanketing the land with propaganda, and siphoning through this has become a very big challenge. It unless you're very, it's like a biblical phrase, even the elect would be deceived. It's challenging to look at all of the stuff that they're putting out in the media and various avenues of communication, and to sift through it and decide what's real and what isn't anymore. I mean, when we got intelligence agencies and paid intelligence operatives going on Facebook, social media sites, Reddit, places around the internet and posting comments like they're real people, like they're not government stooges, we've crossed a new threshold.
Well, that's the nature of the systems that they are building. That is the nature of the total information awareness system. It's not just information awareness on their side. It is also the ability to distribute information, to send out information. The system of systems, the total information awareness is the system of systems. And what that system is, it's comprised of records and data elements that are access to other systems. So with the piece of emergency broadcast system that you just told us about that Farron has, we normally think of that as a back door, but actually in his radio station, that is a front door access to his radio audience.
Yeah, and they can, you said it was a separate system from the EAS, didn't you, Steve?
Oh, sorry, I'm out cleaning my shed, and everybody keeps stopping by. But control grid. You know, when I look at this whole thing with these radio stations, you can break into them. And Vicky, you know, corporate networking, right? To a certain extent, you don't interface this equipment to, like, say, let's say, the internet. So, how many different points did Sam say were attacked? It went through CNN. It went through a Time Warner network. How was all that pulled together?
Well,
nobody knows.
Communications system for emergencies is supposed to be seamless. I know that they are working on a national 911 system, and if they have the national 911 system that where you call in, they can also use that same system to call out. Communications is a two-way thing, and I know they're working on it.
Okay, so you remember in England when they first went to the CCTV thing, they came up with that problem that they had all these objects in motion, and they couldn't tell who it was, and when they went to look for somebody, they couldn't find them. They'd spend a lot of time, and then they decided to track every object and name every object. And so every CCTV camera in England has a hookup to Scotland Yard or wherever, and they're tracking all the objects on the camera. It's kind of like the same back-end system for the radio stations and the TVs, except it's not, well, always on broadcasting or pulling in all this data. But the control grid, right, is coming down quick. Walmart just put in facial recognition scanners at the self-service checkout lines here in Fredericksburg, and I'm sitting there going, wow, these people are scanning their items while their face is being scanned the entire time. And they don't know, they don't care.
I saw that at a gas station that I stopped at. They had a notice up there that said you are on camera. You know, your face is being recorded. And it unnerved me. I mean, this was several years ago, and I never went back to that gas station, but...
Well, all of them do it, though.
Well, I know they do, but it just kind of, I don't know, it
creeps.
Because
people tamper, people have gotten to the point where they tamper with the pumps now. Oh, yeah, you got that pay at the pump thing now, and the real problem with the credit card scanners at the pump is that people put little devices in there. When you stick your card in, it can scan your card and steal your card information. So even though they've made everything prepay now to avoid drive-offs and everything, you still got the problem of people stealing people's credit card information.
You know what? When I first heard about those, they were using those things in ATMs.
Yep.
So wow. So now they've
graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve,
appreciate the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call there, friend. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there he is, Steve in Texas. All right, we have another call from St. Louis, and let's go ahead and take the call. St. Louis, Missouri, you're on the air.
Howdy, this is Ron from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And,
hello.
Vicki, I understand you just had an earthquake in Idaho yesterday afternoon. So,
well, there have been swarms of earthquakes around Soda Springs, supposedly. And the reason why I say supposedly is because the whole story about the Yellowstone caldera has emerged again. This is not the first time, but... for the people that don't know, the Yellowstone area and the entire area clear down to Idaho Falls, where I was living, you know, when this came up before, is a gigantic super volcano, like a super volcano. And the whole area in Idaho, that part of area, in the past, it erupted, and underneath the ground, the entire area is lava rock. Hmm. You can't, except where there are farms now, the farmers took the lava rock out. But if you go out in the desert, it's lava rock everywhere. And so... but these swarms of earthquakes that they've been reporting, there are rumors that the caldera is about to blow again, which I don't really believe. But
well, there's
you know.
There's also rumors, and how do we get to the bottom of this? That a lot of this is due to the fracking that's been going on, but I don't know whether to accept that or whether to reject it.
Well, I'm right.
I know there's a lot of people in the environmental movement that want to shut down all human development, and so you have that problem. So I mean, arguably, fracking has benefited us to the extent that we're not dependent upon Middle Eastern oil anymore.
So, I'm not sure I believe that, actually.
Well, that's the statement, anyway, from the...
I'm in the anti-fracking camp. I don't like fracking. And I'll tell you why, because they are doing some fracking around in the Payette area. And the Payette, I don't know, I just have this feeling like they're stealing water. I think they're stealing water.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. And that's the truth of what I believe. And so I don't like fracking, and I wish that they would ban it. But I do think that if they are in an area, you know, they could be disturbing things so that you do have small quakes, so that you do end up having quakes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Ron...
my other comment was, if you go to your directory, I put a story in there, and Vicki, you're going to love this. Go, Darren, go to your directory and look up Walmart is now going to deliver food to you And they will be happy to come into your home if you have an internet door lock system and put it in your cabinets and refrigerator for you.
Yeah, like I'm going to let Walmart in my house. I don't think so.
You don't like
it? I sent the story up to Darren last night. Now, hopefully he can find it in his directory there. And even a couple on Channel 2, they said absolutely not. They would not let them in their house.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I don't have anything in the directory, Ron.
Oh, yeah, I sent it up about midnight last night.
It's not there.
Hmm. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm sure you can find it playing online somewhere anyway, but it's just definitely a bizarre story there.
Yeah, it is a bizarre story.
I've had quite a few security.
So I'll let you all continue there.
There okay. must be a delay on the line. All right, hey, thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. Talk to you later.
I had quite a few contacts by security firms trying to sell me their security service, you know, so that I will be connected directly to the fire department and I'll get priority service. And I asked the guy, I said, now how are you going to arrange that I get priority 911 service over anybody else? You know, I hope that was just marketing lies. I mean, I would hope that our local city officials wouldn't sell priority service for 911.
Well, there's areas where they sell service altogether, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Where they sell 911 service?
Oh, 911 in general?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of fire, because certain fire departments have been having trouble finding funds, and they have gone to a subscription type of basis where if you pay for, you know, coverage, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, they'll come out and put out your fire. And if you don't, then sorry, too bad for you.
That idea was a psychotic idea, in my opinion, that came out of the Libertarian Party.
Nevertheless, it's being practiced in certain places, and it's led to some interesting scenarios where one guy has his house burning down and his neighbor calls the fire department because the fire could spread to his, and they come out and spray the neighbor's house to keep it from catching fire while they're letting the other guy's house burn down. And
yeah, that makes me so angry I can't even tell you, because that's why we pay taxes. And when I lived in Washington,
I think in those cases the taxes were cut out, and so they had to have funding somewhere. I'm not defending it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What they did in Washington State was they had a rural fire district, and we voted on, the people in the district voted on whether or not to, you know, if the fire department needed a new truck or if they, you know, whatever it was that they needed, they put it on the ballot, and it always passed. I never saw one ballot initiative that didn't pass when it was for fire service.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't sit there and watch somebody's house burn down.
No, that's what I mean. It's psychotic.
I just couldn't do it.
And just the idea of it makes me so angry that anybody would even conceive that, because everybody, it is a service. It's one of the few things that you can say government legitimately does, because we all need it, even though we don't need it every day. We all need it sooner or later, or may need it.
Well,
you
maybe
know?
Not. I'm hoping I don't need it sooner or later. By the way, whoever called from Michigan, I was just about to take your call when you dropped. So if you want to call back, we'll take your call. Anyway, moving along here, I wanted to talk a little bit about this ongoing internet push, this push for internet censorship. Because the big media companies have gotten to the point where they are really working to lock things down. And I mean, it's alarming to me to see the degree to which they've gone with the whole fake news meme, but now hate speech, shutting down anything that they can say is hate speech. And what's hate speech? Any opinion that they with which they disagree. And Kashmir Hill, back at the end of last month, did an article in Gizmodo. Yes, Google uses its power to quash ideas it doesn't like. I know, because it happened to me. She says, the criticism of Google had come... The story in the New York Times this week was unsettling. The New American Foundation, a major think tank, was getting rid of one of its team of scholars. The Open Market Group, New America, had warned its leader, Barry Lynn, that he was imperiling this institution. The Times reported after he and his group had repeatedly criticized Google, a major funder of the think tank, for its market dominance. The criticism of Google had culminated in Lynn posting a statement to the think tank's website applauding the European Commission's decision to slap the company with a record-breaking $2.7 billion fine for privileging its price comparison service over others in search results. That post was briefly taken down, then republished. Soon after, Anne Marie Slaughter, the head of New America, told Lynn that his group had to leave the foundation for failing to abide by, quote, institutional norms of transparency and collegiality. Google denied any role in Lynn's firing, and Slaughter tweeted that the facts are largely right, but quotes are taken way out of context and interpretation is wrong. Despite the conflicting storylines, the underlying premise felt familiar to me. 6 years ago, I was pressured to unpublish a critical piece about Google's monopolistic practices after the company got upset about it. In my case, the post stayed unpublished. I was working for Forbes at the time and was new to my job. In addition to writing and reporting, I helped run social media there. So I got pulled into a meeting with Google salespeople about Google's then new social network, Plus. Remember Google Plus? Google salespeople were encouraging Forbes to add Plus's plus one social buttons to articles on the site alongside the Facebook like button and the Reddit share button. They said it was important to do because the plus recommendations would be a factor in search results, a crucial source of traffic to publishers. This sounded like a news story to me. Google's dominance in search and news gave it tremendous power over publishers. By tying search results to the use of plus, Google was using that muscle to force people to promote its social network. I asked the Google people if I understood correctly. If a publisher didn't put the plus one button on the page, its search results would suffer. The answer was yes. After the meeting, I approached Google's public relations team as a reporter, told them I'd been in the meeting, and asked them if I understood correctly. The press office confirmed it, though they preferred to say the plus button influences the ranking. They didn't deny what the salespeople told me. If you don't feature the plus one button, your stories will be harder to find with Google. With that, I published a story headlined, "Stick Google Plus Buttons on Your Pages or Your Search Traffic Suffers." That included bits of conversation from the meeting. The Google guys complained how the new recommendation system will be a factor in search. Anyway, she's got a quote from the article. Anyway, Google promptly flipped out. This was in 2011, around the same time that a congressional antitrust committee was looking into whether the company was abusing its powers. Google never challenged the accuracy of the reporting. Instead, a Google spokesperson told me that I needed to unpublish the story because the meeting had been confidential, and the information discussed there had been subject to a non-disclosure agreement between Google and Forbes. I had signed no such agreement, hadn't been told the meeting was confidential, and had identified myself as a journalist. It escalated quickly from there. I was told by my higher-ups at Forbes that Google representatives called them saying that the article was problematic and had to come down. The implication was that it might have consequences for Forbes, a troubling possibility given how much traffic it came through Google searches and Google News. Anyway, I don't want to read this whole article. And it goes on for some time after that. The point is that it culminated and her not being able to have the article up because Google was threatening to take action.
Yeah.
And
Google is definitely a monopoly. I mean, they do control the internet, and it is very, very dangerous.
I wouldn't describe them entirely as a monopoly, but they certainly have unfair market power.
And now we're seeing
they're teaming up. They're teaming up with, well, it's close. The problem is the term monopoly is mono. It means that there's nothing else. And there are other search engines, but the problem is that they've got so much power now that they're able to wield that power. You know, I've been using DuckDuckGo.
The only difference is that, I use StartPage. I try not to use Google except for images.
Well, you're still using Google, though. The problem with StartPage is all it is a Google proxy. So if they're censoring search results and StartPage gets the Google results for you, you're still getting censored. The only difference is you're not getting Google's cookie. Google's not getting your IP address, but you're still getting Google results when you go with StartPage.
Hmm. That's distressing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that lends more to your
argument that Google's got too much power.
Yes. Yes, they do. And I'll bet you that all of the search engines search Google's database. I don't know if they actually search all the servers, you know, or exactly how the search facilities work, but I'll bet you that Google is the
I think there's Bing, which is in bed with Yahoo. Bing and Yahoo are the same thing. And I believe that's an entirely different search. You know, Bing is separate from Google, but it doesn't have near the traffic that Google has. And that's owned by Microsoft, another giant mega corporation. And I believe they would be collecting the same type of information on you when you do searches on there if you're looking for privacy. But it is an alternative for search results. Then you have DuckDuckGo, which I believe is independent all of itself, and they're big on privacy and everything, and they do have pretty good search results. So I've been using DuckDuckGo a lot, but it's getting harder. It's getting harder. You know, back in the day when the internet was in its infancy, we had a lot of choices for search.
Yeah.
Yahoo was its own entity. Now they're in, you know, they have to rely upon Bing. And Yahoo's a mess anyway. I won't go into that, but they're just a train wreck.
I used a piece of software that I bought that was called Copernic, and I loved that product because it would it was really good. It found the results for me, what I was looking for. It filtered out the duplicates. And it gave me a report that included links, you know, the small description of what it was, the reason why it was selected, plus the link. I mean, that was one of the best pieces of software that I owned. And the last change that Google made, and I don't know exactly what the nature of the change was in the search engines, but the company took the product off the market. They made it so that the product would not work. And I was really upset about it. I even wrote to the company about it, you know, and they just said sorry. Now I don't know if Google bought them out, because that's usually what happens. You know, if somebody develops a good product in whatever category, something to do with the operating system or a database they get bought out by one of the bigger firms.
Yeah, they either get bought out either for the personnel because it's a good product and they have good people working under the hood. So they get bought out for that reason and then shut down, or they get bought out, like you say, to stifle the competition, which is antitrust.
It is. And that whole antitrust suit, you know, with Microsoft and Netscape in the 1990s, that whole thing was a farce because it had to do with a browser. And if they really wanted to get Microsoft on antitrust, they would have gone after them for the operating systems, mm-hmm. because Microsoft had all of the operating systems. You know, they had almost the whole market locked up for operating systems. And anytime any product came on the market that was good, Microsoft would buy them up.
Yeah.
So the browser was really just a nit, you know, and there were half a dozen browsers out there. And actually, I thought Netscape was the best browser. So they could stand on their own without that lawsuit. So,
well,
Internet
Explorer may at one time have been a good browser, but it certainly isn't today.
And it wasn't. It wasn't as good as Netscape.
Well, it is not as good as. There are many alternatives that are better than Internet Explorer today. It's very virus friendly, and in fact, I think Microsoft has pretty much all but abandoned it. Now they got their new. What is the new browser called? But you can only get it with a newer operating system. So, but here's the thing, and Google's throwing their weight around, forcing websites to go HTTPS, or they're going to start dinging their search results, or at least putting alarms in Chrome that this site is unsafe.
Right, that's an extortion fee. I remember we talked about that about eight or nine months ago when GoDaddy tried to sell me this, SSL?
Yes.
Secure socket?
It's TLS now.
It's TLS.
Yeah, the newer rendition of this is TLS encryption.
Okay.
It's
well,
the latest
anyway,
version
they
of SSL.
Yeah, they wanted to charge me $40 a year per website for that, and I mean that's
exorbitant.
Lot of money.
We have TLS encryption on ungovernedamerica.com, and I don't pay anywhere near for that because you can buy the cheapest certificate you have. All you have to have is a certificate authority, you know, certify it there for the purposes of the browsers. It doesn't really change anything as far as how well encrypted the data is.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need it to avoid that flag that comes up if you have a self-encrypted website. But here's the thing. You've got Twitter now canceling people's accounts. Recently there was this case where the activist mommy is what she calls herself, and she criticized Teen Vogue's anal sex. Evidently, Teen Vogue, the magazine, published a guide for teenagers on anal sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and this woman came out onto her Twitter account and criticized that. And for that, Twitter banned her account. Now, I notice it looks like she's been reinstated since then. But that's mainly because she had so much backlash. I mean, she came out and it got a lot of play in the alternative media. So consequently, she was reinstated. And I even had my account, believe it or not. My account was actually banned at one point. And
I protested it
and they reinstated it, said it was an accident.
But if I had seen that woman's tweets, I would have joined her in tweeting and sharing the tweet.
Any decent person would be against something like this. But these people they're sick, and sickness is being promoted. Anything, you know, that is debauchery, depraved, is being promoted as a good thing. So the social media space, and I can tell you, that there are Google executives, former Google executives, that are joining Twitter's board. The latest is Patrick Bichette. Actually, no, I take that back. Twitter is adding another. Here's Recode. Twitter is adding another former Google executive to its board. Patrick Bichette, yeah. Hugh Johnson, Pepsi's CFO, is leaving Twitter's board. So Twitter, they say Twitter has added another longtime Google executive to its board of directors, Patrick Bichette, who served as Google CFO, Chief Financial Officer, from 2008 until the summer of 2015. Bichette will replace Hugh Johnson, the CFO of Pepsi, who joined Twitter's board just a little over a year ago. According to a Twitter press release, Johnson has taken a board seat at Microsoft. Bichette is now the second well-known Google executive to take a seat on Twitter's board. Twitter chairman Omid Kadestani was the search giant's longtime business boss before he joined Twitter's board as chairman 2 years ago. So there appears to be, anyway, the point I'm trying to make is somewhat of an incestuous relationship between, and they have come out and forged a partnership to attack fake news.
Yeah, they're going to have a Google flag. That was one thing. I don't know if you got to finish watching that hearing on cybersecurity that I sent you, where the woman from Google was there, and I on the
you're talking image about the one you just wrote about?
Yeah.
No, I watched what you clipped.
Where I put the caption, I'm from Google. Oh. I'm here to help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, they're here to help, but they're
because
here to help
they're
the, with the
they are trying to move in. They're trying to move into the election system gambit. If you watched that whole hearing, you would have heard her say that what they are going to be doing is providing advice and security space for candidates for office.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying here, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, and the reason why I'm spending a little time on it, because this is important. We may not be able at some point, if this continues, to do Patriot Radio on the internet. I mean, we are moving toward, it appears, and we've been saying for years, we don't know how long we're going to be able to continue operating on the internet, because I've just imagined that this day was coming, but mm-hmm. they have really ratcheted up and they have done so very quickly, and I think the reason why is we're hurting them bad. They can't come out with these narratives before we're all over it. And we, not just being us here at Govern America, but the massive alternative media, the massive truth media that is all around the internet, all around the world. People are crowdsourcing the truth. They are getting together, examining things. And yeah, is there some misinformation or false analysis? You bet. But look around you at the media. Look how many false analyses they give on a daily basis, and nobody's trying to censor them.
Right. They go absolutely false on some stories.
Some stories.
Well.
Anyway, yeah. there's a social media network, and I don't get any money from them, so I'm not trying to... You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting them because I'm getting anything from it. But I'm very impressed with them. They're called Gab. And their website is gab.ai. I have a profile on there, gab.ai/govern America. But Gab has come out, and what this is these people have set this up. They're very freedom-minded people, and they happen to be working. They happen to work in Silicon Valley, and they're tired of Google. They're tired of Twitter. They're tired of Facebook, the big tech companies censoring people's opinions. So they set up their own social media network, and it's growing. It's actually, ironically, getting a lot of play, although very negative play in the major media as a hate speech site. In fact, I got an article, or I got a thing. Let me just play this from, this is from NBC.
Before violence spilled onto the streets of Charlottesville, the white supremacist groups behind the rally were organizing across the internet in public view. Now Silicon Valley is kicking them offline, and it's stirring up a constitutional debate. Platforms like Google and GoFundMe are now cutting off hate groups, banning sites like The Daily Stormer from using their services to communicate and fundraise. Apple says it's now blacklisted known hate sites from its payment platforms. PayPal, one of the largest payment processors in the world, now canceling accounts. Even dating site OkCupid today banning white supremacist Chris Cantwell for life, tweeting, "There's no room for hate in a place where you're looking for love." The internet blockade has forced some groups to search for new homes online. Many on the right are turning to new social media site Gab, which allows controversial discussions with limits.
So long as they're not inciting violence, so long as they're not advocating for criminality, so long as they're not doing any harm to the public in regards to the law, they are allowed to speak.
As hate groups are booted from popular online tools, First Amendment scholars say tech companies are navigating a fine line on what can be said and done on the internet.
They have a right to police themselves. They have a right to decide who their users are. We urge them to do so in a way that which is transparent, in which they are accountable.
But with billions of users, it's a difficult, if not impossible, task for tech companies to monitor every single one. Jolene Kent, NBC News, San Francisco.
Okay, so this Andrew Torba is the founder of Gab. And since he's been getting so much airplay, and this thing is it's basically a brand new social media site, has not been around for very long at all. And they're already he's written a thing in Medium. We are at war for a free and open internet.
That's true.
He republished a letter that he was getting from his registrar, which says, "Hello, Mr. Torba. We have been running a check on registrant contact details at the .ai namespace. Unfortunately, we've been unable to validate the registrant details that have been provided below the domain names, affected domain name gab.ai. The registrant contact has been provided and cannot be successfully verified via the data available through public sources. So they were going to, it is possible your details are correct. However, we've been unable to validate an active company by this name listed in the registrant contact via public data sources available to us. Can you please review the details above and ensure that all the details are correct?" So he had to go and prove that they were really a corporation. He says, "This is the story of Gab's most difficult and most controversial decision to date. On September 1st, I opened my email to see a note from the compliance department of our domain registrar, AsianRegistry.com. Instantly, I knew something was up. They asked that we update our contact information on the gab.ai domain within 1 week, or it, quote, may result in the suspension of the domain, unquote. To be fair, the address was outdated. The last time we tried to update it on the Asian Registrar website, it failed. We promptly provided the requested information and updated to our new address. A few days later, we heard back, only this time it was from Asian Registry's legal team. They noted that they had received a formal complaint about content posted on Gab. They cited the individual link in question and told us that we had 48 hours to remove, quote, any images that are in violation of their policies, unquote. We then proceeded to read their guidelines to determine what violation could have occurred with the post that they cited. We have followed up with their legal team to get some clarity and specifics about which clause was violated. The only thing that stuck out to us was the following vague and ambiguous clause. Instra Corporation prohibits unlawful use of a registered domain name or product/service we supply in a manner that is harmful, threatening, abusive, harassing, defamatory, or hateful against another party. This includes, but is not limited to, hate speech, discrimination or harassment on the basis of gender, religion, sexuality, or race. Instra Corporation reserves the right to suspend or delete any product or service that, after reasonable investigation, is deemed to be in breach of this clause. You'll also note in their guidelines that they typically give 15 days. In our case, we were given 48 hours to act. INSTRA generally provides registrants with 15 days of notice of a pending domain name action. And they, anyway, he's given the quote there. Upon looking at their guidelines, he says, we reviewed the post in question to determine if it had broken our own community guidelines. Our guidelines are very clear about properly tagging content that is not safe for work. We believe the post in question was indeed obscene. It should have been marked not safe for work, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but so they, the problem is, okay, this is not the first time we've enforced our guidelines. They ended up removing the post because the post didn't follow their guidelines. And they do have the rules, as was noted in NBC News. They're very much in favor of free speech, but it can't be anything threatening. It can't be anything. But what the registrar was doing, the registrar ended up making it to the point where they were going to lose their entire domain name if they didn't censor this post. And the only thing they don't allow on there is threatening speech, speech that is illegal, speech that is a danger to the public. Anything else, you're allowed to say. And these are arguably things that most people would agree with. He says, we believe this effort was coordinated and planned. We knew this day would come, and now we've entered a crossroads with a binary decision. Remove one post or lose our domain, and thus the entire website. Our choice was very clear to me. The post had to come down. If it does not, we lose the domain. To my knowledge, there are no pro-free speech domain registrars, and that is a massive problem. Our only other option now would be to play a cat-and-mouse game by transferring our domain to another registrar. Others who have attempted to play this game have failed and even had their domain seized completely out from under them. So that was the first thing. They took down the post. Then they came back at them again. And they finally, and this is a post on Twitter, September 18th at 1:14 a.m., he posted this. Breaking. Gab's domain registrar has given us 5 days to transfer our domain or they will seize it. The free and open web is in danger. And they reprint in that Twitter, in that tweet, the thing from the Asia Registry legal team, the email. It says, dear registrant, we are writing to you as the registrant of the domain name gab.ai. Please be advised that Asia Registry's end-user agreement, terms of service, and abuse policy prohibit use of a domain name for an unlawful purpose. Asia Registry is an Australian company, and the website at gab.ai violates Australian federal and state anti-discrimination laws, which prohibit public vilification on the basis of race, religion, or ethnic religion or ethnic origin. Now bear in mind, again, this is a website devoted to free speech. Anybody can say anything they want. So you're going to have some people saying hateful things. As long as they're not threatening, harassing, danger to the public, it's allowed. But just by virtue of the fact that people are able to freely express themselves, this is being considered hateful. This is being considered a violation of Australian law. Can you think about this, folks? Asian Registry, they continue, their Asian Registry's abuse policy specifically prohibits use of a domain name in a manner that is discriminatory or hateful. See paragraph 12. Asian Registry has the right to cancel any domain which breaches its terms and conditions. On this basis, Asian Registry invites you to transfer your domain name to a different registrar. If you do not do so within 5 days, Asia Registry will cancel your domain name registration. So, that put them in the position of having to find a new registrar. After the initial harassment, they came back again and washed their hands of Gab. So I guess Gab has found another registrar, and that's the only way the site is still there. For how long, I don't know. But I bring this to you, folks, to point out, this is where we're headed here. We're seeing the highly censored web. This whole thing is materializing in a major way. I'll tell you what, I got the bottom of the hour break. Let me go ahead. I'm late for it. I read this over it. Let's go ahead and take that, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America. GovernAmerica.com is the website for the broadcast. Vicky's websites are TheTechnocraticTyranny.com, TheTechnocraticTyranny.com, and ChannelingReality.com. And she is a contributor to TVOINews.net. And we got a couple of calls on the line. Let's go ahead. This is a call from Michigan. Let's go ahead and take the call. Hello, caller. Who do we have here?
Darren, it's Wolverine Fred in Michigan.
Hey, Wolverine Fred, how you doing?
Okay. Remember the bankruptcy of 1933?
No, I wasn't alive back then.
James Traficant, who was a U.S. congressman on 17 March of 93, made a speech in Congress where he precisely delineated the manufactured fraudulent U.S. corporate bankruptcy mm-hmm. of 1933, and he cited executive orders like 6011, 6102, which illegally, unlawfully, fraudulently compelled the confiscation, the voluntary confiscation of people's gold coins and mm-hmm. certificates. And by executive orders, since it is a corporation and from its very inception, and corroboration of that is Article 1, Section 8, after the opening paragraph describing the powers, responsibilities of Congress,
mm-hmm.
the very next sentence says, borrow money on the credit of the United States. Well, United credit is a function attribute of corporations, corporate entities. And Werner Sombart, some Talmudic Jew economist in 1911, authored a book, The Jews and Modern Capitalism, in which he describes the fact that Talmudic Jews are, in their Talmud, is the source of all things monetary, economic, fiduciary, including the art and science of so-called money creation, money lending, credits, etc., et al. Okay, so when you look at all of this in that perspective, in that context, you got to remember the doctrine of separation of church and state. And obviously that's been violated by these satanic Babylonian Talmudic Jews. Public Law 102-14 of 20 March 91, that's Public Law 102-14,
mm-hmm.
20 March 91, George H.W. Skull and Bones, Satanist Bush Laden, signed it into law.
Bush Laden.
And that's the Noahide Laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard on your break some advertisement about being born again and yada, yada. Well, okay, those folks ought to get all over that because Noahide Laws, the Noahide Laws is on the books, Public Law 102-14, 20 March 91, and it stipulates that anyone that engages in the worship of a god other than Lucifer, Hasatan, Satan, is to be beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the Talmudic Jews that own and boast about owning U.S. Gov from D.C. to the local level, it is they and their god Lucifer that's, you know, directing everyone's life.
Yeah. Well, okay. I need to bring this to a head because I got another call on the line here, so
yeah, all right.
We need to speed it up a little bit.
How we negate this, anyone can call their state capitol, Treasury Department, property tax office, and ask the question, is private land property required to be recorded, registered in the International Talmudic Law public venue registry in the tax assessor's office of the city or the county?
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you they will tell you no. But I can guarantee you everyone has done that. It's been recorded in the International Talmudic Communitarian Admiralty Maritime Bankruptcy Commercial Venue. So you go in and you tell them 28 United States Code 1746-1, that's 28 U.S.C. 1746-1, stipulates that since I am a live flesh and blood man in or on the continental United States of America du jour, I want my private land property recorded in that private, non-corporate, non-international venue.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to do it. And once that happens, the property tax liability disappears because the privilege is to have your private property registered as Talmudic commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Let me ask you a question here. Hold on, Fred. I'm going to have to move on here soon, but do you know of anybody that's able to be successful at doing this? Because different people have tried different methods like that through using the law, and they've ended up getting their property seized. So are you aware of anybody that's been able to successfully accomplish this?
Because
I'm all for it if it can work.
I'm going to be doing this, okay?
Okay.
I'm damn well going to be doing this. It's very simple. And by the way, the reason I'm going to do this is because a retired a U.S.gov dignitary that I know in this county told me a couple years ago that everyone in those so-called public offices, those public officials, are contracted to fulfill their fiduciary duty obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go in and I cite the statutory code and I direct them to do it and they don't correct a fraudulent recording, I get to sue them for everything they've got.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Do it.
Keep us posted. Keep us posted on the outcome. Okay.
And I would recommend that you open up a bank account and pay your taxes to your bank account, just in case.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Peter Neese, who used to broadcast,
I remember
broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Neese, the Lawman07 at live.com. Lawman07@live.com. He knows all about this. So he would be like a go-to authority, as would be escapeharassment.com, Dave DeReamer out in Delaware. Those guys were onto this 30 years ago.
Okay.
Escapeharassment.com, Dave DeReamer.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Like we said, I appreciate the call. I got to move on, though, because we're got another call on hold for over 10 minutes there. Hello, Texas. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Darren and Vicki. This is Lark.
Hi.
Hi, Lark.
Well, listen, back in line with your prior discussion,
mm-hmm.
Social media, the privatization of everything inside, the Internet of Things, et cetera. I'm going to reference two websites. The first is called Liberal Christians, or LibChrist.com. And the other one is called Nextdoor.com. Nextdoor.com. Now, these are, to me, I'm citing these two websites because I'm going to tie into your conversation
mm-hmm.
about this privatization the doing away with public offices and public lands, and then we have to ask ourselves, well, who owns this platform called the Internet, and who owns these various properties that are ruled by copyright, trademark law, and, you know, you spoke of domain registries and this and that, and their so-called policies. I mean, all of these platforms online, whether we refer to Twitter or Facebook or Google or any kind of a Microsoft or Apple product, I mean, we could spend the next 2 hours just listing them.
Right.
That control our movements on this thing called the Internet or the web. And I like that, the web, World Wide Web.
Well, and these things right. aren't just called this for no reason at all, are they, Lark?
No, they're not. But let's get back to libchrist.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's the liberal Christians website. Now, on this website, they're going to tell you that there are ample citations within history, the Bible itself, the history of the Christian faith, et cetera, to support the idea that King James Bible 1611 was actually a homosexual. And, I mean, we're talking dozens of citations. Okay? You go to the webpage, and they actually support homosexuality. They support polyamory and pederasty. They support swingers groups. They support
wait a minute.
Child
you,
sex.
Who are you talking about? The website?
Indeed.
Wow.
And it's been around. It precedes the Internet. They used to have a newsletter. Liberalchristians.com.
Huh.
Yeah, King James was a homosexual, and these people suggest that it is actually hate to prevent people from ingathering or communicating on the Internet to facilitate things like gang stalking, the targeting of children at schools.
Wow.
I mean, it's astonishing. Just go to it.
I'm on it. I'm on it now. I mean, my guess is they probably got a very good Google ranking. I'm sure they
have
nothing
no idea,
to worry about.
It's astonishing. It's astonishing. Yeah, yeah. The King James Bible that everyone touts is the authentic version of the Bible. Check it out. They say that the guy was a homosexual. And the people that are actually responsible that led the charge for creating this so-called King James Bible were people like Francis Bacon and John Dee.
Well, I know there's a big attack on Christianity on every front. I mean,
there's no doubt. But I wanted to point, there's no doubt, and you're correct. There's the Christianity's come under attack from all angles.
Well,
let's go to nextdoor.gov. Nextdoor.com.
Wait, just a minute, Lark.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Lark, but there are Marxists masquerading as Christians on the out in the public sphere. One big group of them is called the Interfaith Alliance, and everything that you're seeing there could very well be part of the information operations for destabilization of our country. And
I totally agree with you.
And it's attack on culture.
Say that again, Vicki. It opens what?
The only way to really overthrow the United States is to attack our culture.
Yeah.
That's what Gramsci thought. And that really is what's being done. It's that's why we're living in a world that is kind of like a reverse universe. You know, what is bad is good, what is good is bad, what's beautiful is ugly, and what is ugly is beautiful. And there is nothing that more symbolic of that or more demonstrative of that than that woman who is, I think it's a woman, running Vogue magazine.
Yeah,
and she
Teen Vogue.
Is that Teen Vogue? And she has her little Hitler mustache.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the anal sex thing from earlier.
Well, it's all part of the whole thing. I mean, yeah. When you said Vogue, I said, oh, okay. You know, because that woman, that creature that has the clown makeup and the Hitler mustache thing, being like the CEO of Vogue, it all fits, doesn't it? It's like a total perversion. What's ugly is beautiful. What's beautiful is ugly. What was perverted, what was considered perverted, is now considered the norm.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Everything seems to be geared toward destabilization, just like you said. I mean, you nailed it when you said that. Because anything that, look at how many decades the family, the institution of the family has been under major attack. And now you've gotten to the point where you almost don't have families left anymore. The institution of marriage has come under major attack to the point where it almost has no meaningful significance anymore. And as a result, who's raising the children?
Right.
That's exactly right.
And everything that they do to reform things makes everything worse.
Yeah.
All the people, the think tanks, the policy things, all those wonks in Washington D.C. I believe that they've actually been operating against the interests of the people of this country. They twist things to present it as if they are trying to help, trying to solve a problem, but things keep getting worse and worse and worse, and we're almost at the point of a civil war now.
Yes, absolutely. I think we are. We're at that threshold. There's no question about it when you've got people already. You know what? I would argue the Civil War has already begun. When you've got people in the streets attacking other people for speaking a political opinion, I mean, we're already in a civil war. It's just not widespread as it could be.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't argue with you on that because you're right. It's just not. Not everybody is involved at this point. It's only people on the internet that are involved at this point.
And I'm hoping to God it never gets to the point where everybody is involved. I think that there'll be enough people that won't fight each other unless it's a self-defense type of situation. I think most people are in that camp. I'm not going to fight you, but if you attack me, I will kill you. That's the stance that most people, I think, will take.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting more and more, with all this social engineering that's going on right now, they're putting people in an impossible state. They're putting people in the state where they have no choice but to fight one another.
Right. Well,
this is a dangerous thing when desperation is such that people, that primal instinct kicks in, the fight or flight instinct.
Well, when you have to fight to protect your family, when your society finds perversion acceptable, mm-hmm. and you have to protect your children, and you know, try to protect them from the perverts who now are in the schools, mm-hmm. in the churches, and it all seems to be perfectly acceptable.
Massively being promoted,
yes. Then, yeah, it becomes fight time, I think.
Lark, you were going to talk about Nextdoor.com. I'm on the page right now. It looks like it's...
This is a nationwide... this is a private corporation, mind you. You mm-hmm. know, they accept ads, and they may have a variety of funding sources, but... I'll give you an example. I had no interest in something like Nextdoor.com, except that one day my girlfriend discovered that there was a loose dog in our front yard.
Hmm.
And so she immediately went online and did a quick search to determine who could have lost this dog. And she found Nextdoor.com.
I had never heard of it until you mentioned it.
Well, it's all over the country. It's huge. And if you live in a suburban setting, as I do, I live within, I think, 3 miles of Texas Instruments, a huge tech corridor. I mean, this whole, I am surrounded by zombies, criminals, and techies. I'll give you an example.
Aren't we all?
The other day, a week ago, somebody was given away 27 unused, what they call growlers. These are jarred, lidded jars for producing things like kefir water and kombucha tea and so forth. And the guy just wanted to find a new home for him, apparently. And so I said, well, heck yeah, I'd like to have some of those. And he was wanting to get rid of them. He was selling a bunch of stuff. Apparently he was remodeling or something, clearing out his garage. And I didn't know at that time it was a he or she. But the person actually delivered these things to my door one afternoon, and we exchanged pleasantries. He was obviously a gay man, middle-aged. And I was very grateful to get these things. And so I helped him load them onto the porch from his trunk. And he told me he was an IT professional of some sort. And it just gets worse, because this website, basically what they do is they spy on their neighbors.
Yeah, this is communitarianism on the internet.
Oh, it's incredible. Incredible. I mean, usually it's things about garage sales. There's a house for sale. Somebody's lost a dog or a cat, you know, which is how I got reeled in.
Somebody doesn't. Probably things like they don't cut their lawn. They're not adhering to our neighborhood policies.
Oh, yeah. They put their garbage out on the wrong day.
Mm.
You know, they didn't keep their trees or their bushes trimmed.
Fine them.
So, yeah, I mean, I think property rights definitely are going by the wayside. And I think that is really at the root of what we stand to lose in today's America. We're actually looking at a time when we are... we have been brought totally into subjection, slavery. Because you have to ask yourself, what is the definition of slavery and a slave? What is the definition of technology? And most people don't think of technology as merely a tool, just like language is a tool, just like these smartphones are a tool, these smart meters.
Yeah. Boy, you know, I got a story about the smart meter.
You know, and everything else. So anyway, I just wanted to...
I'm glad you brought this up, because I didn't know this site existed.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This is quite a popular... I mean, the people around here, many of them are techies, or they are retirees, and there's very few young families, unless they happen to be techies or trust fund babies. Because, I mean, I live in an area that... I mean, it's quite picturesque. You know, the homes are pretty nice. You know, there's a country club, there's a golf course. I mean, just yesterday, somebody said, who wants to meet over at the waterfall? Who's in? And I was immediately thinking about this gay man that I met, who's also quite active at this website. Hmm. And I'm thinking, are some queers getting together over at the waterfall, and this was their signal?
Well, this thing could actually be used very conveniently for drug dealing and stuff like that. I mean,
I think it would be
great, you know, if all these people would use their Obama phone. You remember the Obama phone woman? Well, they can use their Obama phone to go on the internet to Nextdoor.com and find their drug deals.
Yeah, what's happening? The big picture of what's happening is that our country is going communist. Okay, that's exactly what's happening. Only it goes under a softer name now, communitarianism. You know about this, Lark, but they are trying to change people's values and viewpoints and the culture to be a global village. I mean, this is a doctrine. It is a and there is a methodology to try and convert people to this kind of thinking. So what you just described there, you know, with the community, you know, you have the community social leader who tries to call together events, sharing and caring with their neighbors, like one big happy family, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we call this altruism. It's a phony type of altruism, which is part and parcel of communitarianism. But let's not remember that the people on the so-called left, you know, these young students that are coming out of these indoctrination factories called universities and the public schools, even the private schools today, they're going to swear up and down the problem is those fascists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those rich people.
I got the top of the hour break. I got to take the break.
Uh-oh.
Hang on.
Okay. Do you want me to drop?
Well, you can hang on. Hold on just a moment. We'll finish up here on the other side of the jump. Stay with us, folks. This is Govern America. Hour number three is straight ahead.
The crisis of our republic, waging war on the new world order. This is Govern America. Govern America.
I don't understand why people who share our views aren't more willing to invest in media that can be competitive. Because what you've got is a right-wing advocacy propaganda, and you've got a kind of mainstream media that engages in false equivalency.
That's Hillary Clinton actually calling for liberals to invest more in media because they can't compete with the alternative media. Is that incredible? Can you believe this? She was on a podcast and said that.
Yeah, the media, the alternative media is the only part of our society that they don't control.
Exactly.
Because what we were just talking about there is another aspect of this hybrid warfare. Now, do you remember that in home scams, when they were building home scam security, they imported a KGB officer and a Stasi officer, plus we had Mikhail Gorbachev at the Presidio in San Francisco, and he was working on the sustainable development, new thinking, as he called it, new thinking. And this whole idea of the community and new think came out of that. And at the highest levels of our government, all of those people were involved in the redesign of our government systems. So when you put this entire picture together, the systems of government were designed in such a way to be able to be integrated. So you have the schools integrated with the workforce development system, integrated with your community development plans. And it is a total, absolute control system.
Grid. It's a grid of control. Absolutely.
It is a grid. You can think of it as a grid of control, yes, but it's a soft grid. And people don't see it as a single strategic plan for what is ultimately a communist revolution.
Yeah, Lark in Texas is on the line right now, and Lark has been talking about this Nextdoor.com, a social network for your neighborhood. And where basically putting neighbors in touch with neighbors, because God forbid we actually go next door ourselves bodily and knock on the door and talk to people in person. No, we have to go online and do it to meet our neighbors now. It's really sad.
The reason that they're doing that probably is because most people don't actually go out and meet their neighbors. Something interesting with me is that I never reached out to meet any of my neighbors. I never wanted to know any of my neighbors. So
most people are too screwed up.
So, right. Yeah. I don't want anybody so close to, you know, get to know me and see how messed up my life really is. But, I knew more people, was friendly with more people, more neighbors when I lived in New York City in Manhattan than I ever was anywhere else that I ever lived. And that's, you know, California, Washington, Alaska, Utah, No, well, actually, we did get to be friends with our neighbor in Utah, but that was a real exception.
Anyway, Lark, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. I apologize.
Yeah, no, I am done. I was just...
I just wanted him to be able to finish his thought because I interrupted him going into the break there. You were talking, I believe, about people coming out of the university and public school system all screwed up. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've been thoroughly brainwashed. I mean, I have a niece who has a PhD, and it's in education administration policy of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in California in the Napa Valley area. And, I mean, I have a communitarian nephew who teaches high school physics in Austin. I mean, these people are warped for life because of the indoctrination that they got in the public schools and the universities. And these are very smart people. But Vicky would probably describe them as extremely liberal, and I would too. But the interesting thing about, and I'll finish here in less than a minute, but we need to look at the role that the American Planning Association plays in these so-called master plans for community economic development. And mm-hmm. This is communitarian development. Okay, and then we have to realize that just like so many others, these are syndicalist organizations. Now, syndicalism is a variant of socialism, but what it does is it ensnares blue-collar workers, what we used to call or what we still call trade unionists, but also it ensnares members of white-collar trade associations. This would be professional class. And, you know, Peter Thiel, for example, an early investor in Facebook.
I believe you pronounce that Thiel, even though it's spelled T-H.
T-H-I-E-L, Peter mm-hmm. Thiel. He describes himself as an anarcho-syndicalist. You could read
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's in, and see, the book Human Action by Ludwig von Mises describes socialism in all of its variants pretty well. This man posed himself as a staunch opponent of socialism, and he talks about syndicalism and even what's called collectivism, you know. But the truth is, when it doesn't matter when you tie these elements together, whether you call it monopoly crony capitalism and or corporatism, what was previously styled as collectivism, then you talk about people like Mussolini. Mussolini said that fascism was really corporatism. And then you combine them with the so-called cultural Marxist, the Talmudist, the communist. They had to rebrand these things. Capitalism, dirty. Communism, dirty. Now it's all about love for the community and
yes.
the neighbors. And this is why this word altruism is inclusive in this list, because there's such a thing. The list, of course, I'm referencing is the types of isms which comprise the all-encompassing school of thought or ism known as communitarianism. This is how they keep everybody off balance
mm-hmm.
and at each other's throat. It's a divide-and-conquer strategy as old as recorded history. And
yeah.
you have to combine this thing called mercantilism today, which we call free trade agreements. But then lastly, I'll just mention this. Look at the city manager, city council form of governance, which is what Dallas has. And look at the workings of the American Planning Association and realize that these are communitarian organizational structures. And, you know, they're leading. The nation states are giving way to the market state. Capital demands free flow, no borders.
Yeah.
And this nation state is now being governed regionally through the city state mechanism, witness San Diego and Tijuana, Mexico. That's considered one city-state in today's world.
Yep.
And so I'll leave you all a comment on that, and I appreciate the time.
I appreciate the call there. Thanks for bringing up the points, and thanks for bringing up the website, nextdoor.com. That's very interesting.
Yeah, Lark, the way that I look at the world, makes it easier to understand because I look at function, not labels, not names. I look at what is the function of this organization. And if you look at the world from a functional perspective, it gives you a different view on the world than you would have otherwise, because as we know, that's one of the strategies of the communists or Marxists or whatever they want to call themselves at this point, is that they just keep giving new names for the same old things.
Yeah.
And so if you're just following names, then you think, okay, well, here's a new idea. It takes you a while to figure out that they've just put lipstick on a pig is all. You know, it's still the same old thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, all of this, how all this comes together as far as internet censorship and the whole communitarian idea that we all have to flow together. Individualism is completely destroyed in a society where we all have to integrate and be a part of a grid.
Because computers work with sets of things, a set of this defined this way, you know, a set of other things defined this way. You know, it's all about sets, which is a synonym for a group. Okay? You can manipulate groups at a very high level because you have a small circle of people that affect an entire thread of people. You know, like the American Planning Association, all they need to control is like one person on the board of the APA, and they can control the whole chain.
Yeah, I should also mention regarding this Gab thing, they've now filed a lawsuit against Google. It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out in the courts, because Google dropped their app from the Play Store, and it was after Google dropped their ad in the Play Store, or their app, I should say, citing hate speech, being allowed to operate on the website. Then Gab filed an antitrust suit against Google.
Good.
And so it was after that the registrar started attacking them. And so they got the registrar attacks, which we talked about. Now, the owner of the Papy the Frog, I'm not sure if it's Papy or Peepy. But anyway, Gab has a green frog as its logo. And apparently, I guess they've used Papy the Frog as some sort of satirical thing for political purposes. Anyway, now they're being threatened by the creator of that. So it's just one attack after another. It's just remarkable what a big, giant, you know, one site dedicated to freedom of speech and how much under attack they really are as a result of it. So I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But I just thought it was worth bringing that to your attention, listeners, because, you know, there's a case, like there's an article in The Guardian right now. Because here's the thing. Are they going to stop at social media? I think we're headed to a world where literally if you have the wrong opinions, if you have the wrong viewpoints, if you stand for the wrong thing, you're going to be a persona non grata.
That's exactly right.
The Guardian says
that's the whole point of social control. They have to change the thinking of people.
Headline.
They're going to have everybody marching in lockstep.
Absolutely.
I wrote about a world of one a long time ago because I could see it. Mm-hmm. A world of one. One opinion. It's a gray world. There's no color in it and there's no life in it. It is a world. Like you've seen the communist Chinese army where they're all marching in step.
Mm-hmm.
That is the world of one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody marching in lockstep. Nobody out of line.
So, comrade worker, nobody should be allowed to vote unless they're towing the line. Nobody should be allowed to participate in any societal function unless they're towing the line. The party line. Just like in George Orwell, everybody had to toe the party line. Guardian has a headline, ban social media trolls from voting, election watchdog suggests. Electoral Commission says bans could be considered in an attempt to reduce amount of abuse faced by politicians. Wow.
Too much truth out there.
Yeah, apparently.
Too truthy.
Gotta stifle it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along here, I wanted to bring this up because we have a lot of truck drivers that listen to the broadcast. And one of our listeners out in Utah, Jason, sent me this information via social media, Twitter, just a day or two ago. Insider warns Onus Pipeline, this is website, massive trucking shutdown may be within weeks nationwide over mandatory electronic logging devices. Now, logs, truck drivers have to keep logs. This is something that's mandated by the, I believe, the Motor Safety Carrier Administration, I believe. And the idea is that they have to have 11 hours on duty, and then they have to have a mandatory rest period. And I'm not sure exactly how long it is. Maybe 8 hours, I don't know. But anyway, the point is that they can only work for so long, and then they have to rest. And the establishment doesn't like it because I come from a family of truckers, former truckers. Both my parents were truckers. I can tell you, and I'm not speaking about my parents, but I'm talking about the industry at large. If you're realistic about it, every trucker, I believe, jury rigs his log. Why do they do that? Why do they cheat on their log? Let's see. You can't turn sleep on at the flip of a switch. You run out of hours and you're wide awake, you might as well be driving. Because if you lay there, you're forced to lay on the side of a road in a rest area where other trucks are around. It's noisy. You got a highway going with cars and trucks roaring past. It's going to be impossible, if not, it's going to be very difficult to sleep. If you're wide awake, you're not going to sleep. It's just that simple. But but these regulations, if they're rigidly enforced, are forcing people in a situation where you have to sleep at designated times because you run out of hours. So you either have a choice as a driver. You either falsify your log and say that you were off duty and sleeping when you weren't, or try to actually sleep and rest, and then if you're not able to, then you're going to be drowsy when you are on duty. So my argument is it causes the very thing that they say they're trying to prevent.
Well, their written log, they'll just be caught lying because there are engine meters. Computerized meters on the engine that keep track of engine hours, how long it's been running.
Well, that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
They're implementing this now.
Uh-huh.
This is the mandatory electronic logging devices that the industry the people who actually have to do the work in the industry are coming out against. Now, All News Pipeline says back on June 24th, we reported upon what one of our readers, James Grubbs, called the most alarming SQ alert he had seen in years, a warning from a trucker in America about a mandate beginning December of 2017 that would require all commercial truckers to use ELDs, or electronic logging devices, claiming that trucking as a whole in America was a total mess, but it was about to get a whole lot worse. We were warned that such electronic logging device mandates would establish a dictatorial control grid. Don't we use that phrase a lot on this broadcast? Dictatorial control grid over all of the over-the-road trucking industry, monitored in real time, and that such control was absolutely ripe for abuse. The mandates have been the talk of the entire trucking industry, with many warning that they'll be the death knell of American trucking, as our videographer expands upon in a video.
Right, and Mexican trucks, I'll bet anything, are exempt.
Interesting. I don't know. Would think that they would have to be in compliance, but...
Well, isn't that funny how that works out?
But if the trucking
Americans
company...
are disadvantaged...
Yes, isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. If the trucking company, under NAFTA, and we don't know what the result of this negotiation or renegotiation is going to be, I've got some audio. We could get into that if we had the time. The point is that under NAFTA and these free trade agreements, if a company, including a trucking company, if they decide that you're erecting an unfair barrier to trade, they could conceivably go and file in an international court against the country for erecting such a barrier.
One of the first things that I looked at with NAFTA was exactly that. It was a case with the NAFTA tribunal involved, because theoretically under the NAFTA agreement, Mexican trucks should have been able to cross the border, but the United States was not allowing them to cross the border because they did not, their trucks did not meet our standards of safety. And we're not talking about hours driving the truck. We're talking about things like, you know, how often you have the brakes checked and the condition of your tires, you know, real safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And that case was taken to the NAFTA tribunal, and the United States lost.
Yeah, which is another reason why we shouldn't be in NAFTA.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, because we have these unelected, they're appointed, we don't know who the hell they are, people making decisions that affect our domestic life in the United States.
Yeah, so they're talking in this piece, this allnewspipeline.com, about the possibility that truckers are going to revolt in the near future, and how draconian that would be for our economy, for the people, how the store shelves, literally, we know that the grocery stores literally are, it's just-in-time delivery. So If people catch wind that there's going to be a shortage, all you have to do is look at Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey. Anytime anybody thinks that there's going to be a shortage of anything, immediately the shelves go empty. And if you have a trucking boycott or a trucking shutdown, and I don't know if it's going to really happen, because honestly, I don't know if most people would stick together on something like this.
I think they would, because I think this is a really, really important issue for drivers.
Well,
because
non-union shops, people might be afraid of losing their jobs.
It doesn't make any difference, because if they put those governors on the engines of the trucks won't move. That's one of the things that they were talking about doing, was that if the engine hours exceeded a certain amount of time, that's it. When the truck stops, it doesn't move for the 8-hour period, or when, you know, whatever the length of time of the rest is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, where we're headed here Do I need to point it out? Self-driving trucks. Then you don't have to worry about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trump administration is pushing for this to go forward quickly. He's all in on the self-driving cars and autonomous vehicles.
Please don't tell me that.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. He's pushing to speed it up. Tell you what, we got a call from Kansas. Let's go ahead and take the call. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Darren. Hi, Vicki. This is Sherry in Kansas.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, one thing that Ralph Winterode talks about, and he mainly with the IRS regulations, but I imagine this comes under the code of federal regulations for Department of Transportation, maybe. But he says that a regulation has to be properly promulgated, is the way he put it.
Okay.
And he got this from someone who, you know, was with the, he was calling about, anyway, and he says a lot of IRS ones aren't, and it's a lot of trouble to get it properly promulgated. So I suggest that these truckers, before December, try to check that out. I've heard him say it a lot when I listen to him, but it escapes me right now what exactly. But to properly promulgate a regulation, they have to have a comment period.
Yes.
And they don't do that. They just put something out there and try to, you know, make people do it. So
I believe, I think I saw somewhere that they did have a comment period. But the problem is, even that is gamed. A lot of times they say, we want to have a comment period, and they put it out and have a comment period, and they do whatever it is that they wanted to do to begin with. Well, we heard from everybody, and now we think, we know what everybody wants, and that just so happens to be what we wanted to do. And who's to argue
with? But I think you're right about the self-driving cars and stuff and self-driving trucks. And was it you or some other show I listened to? They said that there's a lot more people killed by, taking drugs as per recommended than there is people killing other people with cars, and yet they really jumping on this self-driving car thing. Congress is.
Yeah.
If they were worried about safety, they wouldn't. They would forget about these self-driving cars. It's not about safety. It's about control. And so just take safety right out of your mind. Erase that word from your dictionary.
No,
it's
not
about control.
It's not about safety, and it's about making obsolete people. It's about it's about automated
so
society.
So that you can't move.
It's about
that's
automated.
That's all I had, guys. Yeah,
thanks, Sherry. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're headed toward the automation of the complete automation of society.
I thought what I heard you were going to say is that we are being locked out of life.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. We are being locked out from our lives.
Absolutely. Well, another call on the line from St. Louis. Go ahead and call her. You're on the air. Oh, wait a minute. Tell you what. Let me go ahead and take the break first, and we'll be back. Here, stay with us, folks. Bottom of the hour. One more half hour to go. This is Govern America, Darren Weeks, Vicki Davis, governamerica.com, governamerica.com, and her website, thetechnocratictyranny.com, and channelingreality.com. And the call-in number, if you'd like to call in, 844-646-8376. I haven't given it very much. Haven't really had to. 844-646-8376, and we'll be back in a few. right, we're back. This is Govern America in the home stretch of the broadcast. GovernAmerica.com is the website, and the call-in number is 844-646-8376, 844-6-GOVERN. Let's go to Missouri. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say it took me three tries, but the Walmart store is following you and your director. I think Bill Gates is after us or something.
Well, why not?
No doubt.
There you go. Anyway, now it's in there.
No, it's not in there.
Bye-bye. Okay.
I don't know.
What?
It's not in there.
It says it right here. It says, I see it right here in your directory.
You got something's wrong because it's not here. But anyway, I'll let you go. We'll sort it out later.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Anyway, moving along here.
I forgot where we were. You were right.
I was talking about truckers and the censorship.
Yeah, I know, and you were saying something that I was on the edge of my seat waiting for you to finish it.
Interesting. Before the break?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'll say about this, because I thought I had pretty well summed it up, electronic logging devices and hours of services supporting documents. I have some, a PDF file for this final rule, which is supposed to be implemented in December. And they claim, in this publication, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration amends the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations to establish minimum performance and design standards for hours of service, or HOS, electronic logging devices, requirements for the mandatory use of these devices by drivers currently required to prepare hours of service, or HOS, records of duty status, or RODS. They love these acronyms. Requirements concerning hours of service supporting documents and measures to address concerns about harassment resulting from the mandatory use of electronic logging devices, or ELDs. The requirement for ELDs will improve compliance with the hours of service rules. So basically what they're purportedly trying to do is make it impossible for people to falsify their logs. However, these Big Brother devices will be piped to the bureaucratic agency so that they can track every single truck on the road in real time.
Yeah, the data will be collected by the fusion centers. That's part of the fusion center system.
Yes.
Is the trucking hubs.
It's being all done under the commercial code. But here's the thing. I believe, and this is just me speculating about the situation, I think this is just a first step.
Oh, it is.
Ultimately, every car on the road, I mean, they've already mandated that these black boxes be put in new automobiles so that a record of what happened, and they always have purported good excuses for all of this stuff. Oh, well, if an accident happens, we just want to know what happened.
It's part of the Stasi police state. It is it is control of movement on the highway systems. I've researched this whole thing. It started back with in this country, of course. 1990 is when German reunification happened, but the guy who brought this plan for logistics on our highway system is General John Shalikashvili. He was the first non-American member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Mm-hmm. And he'd been head of NATO, or what do they call it, the SACOR, or whatever. Anyway, yeah, it's they've turned our domestic transportation system into what I would call a weaponized logistics system.
Yeah.
To control and track and control movement, all movement. I bet they'll even be putting these chips on bicycles, and they'll say, "Oh, it's just in case your kid doesn't come home from for dinner, you'll be able to find where they are."
Well,
by the chip.
Forget about the bicycles. Let's just put them right in the kid.
Well,
that's the argument.
Too.
That's the
that
argument.
Too. I have
don't
some
get
articles
me wrong.
On
I'm not advocating that, people.
Yeah, I have articles.
You have articles what?
Military. To put chips in children.
Yeah, well, the Masons were doing that. I guess that was a biometric kit that they were promoting. Mm-hmm. But that's the first step. And yeah, by the way, this whole thing with Equifax has gotten so ridiculous now. Gosh, there's just so much about that. Now they've gotten to the point where they are literally, first of all, the person they hired in charge of IT security, she was somebody that didn't even have any experience with IT security.
Gee, what a surprise. I'll bet you anything that she came out of, she was either a technical writer or she was
a music major.
Well, yeah, but what they trained her for when they brought her in was either as a tech writer or as a person who does scripted testing.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, in that video that I gave you the link for, that cyber video, there was a woman in there named Debbie something or other. And the guy who was moderating the panel really pandered to her. He said she was in charge of all NSA security. Well, she was no such thing. You know, she was one of these people, and it seems like they're always either tech writers or scripted test people.
Yeah.
And in the IT business, they were like, well, they don't even count in the IT world. They do scripted testing to make sure that whatever change you put into your software doesn't affect the bigger thing. So all they do is sit there like a test dummy and type in transactions from a script.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, well, they have, Well, one other thing I was going to say, and I did have a couple of clips on Equifax, which we're not going to get to today. I don't want to play us out of time here. But they were actually using for a PIN number. I've had I went through all three, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian is the other one we couldn't remember the other day. And I froze my credit with all of them. And I recommend everybody do that, although now people are trying to do it en masse, and so it's difficult to actually make it work for you. But the problem with Equifax is that you always get a PIN number when you go in and do this. And the PIN number is something you have to have to unfreeze it. Problem with Equifax is they were giving people PIN numbers which have no entropy at all. I mean, they're not randomly assigned PIN numbers. What they turn out to be is the date and time that you actually did it. Not even hashed or anything. It's just the standard date and time. And so it's like month, month, day, day, year, year. And hour, hour, minute, minute, I guess. So I could actually go and look at my PIN and figure out exactly the minute that I applied to freeze my credit. It's unbelievable. And the reason why I froze my credit was long before the Equifax thing. We had some woman stole my daughter's identity, and we had a big thing here where she was trying to get into our mail. They were actually trying to, she had at one point used my daughter's identity to switch my electric bill out of my name into hers. And it was the girlfriend of my nephew who was the culprit. And he actually ended up messing him over too. And I have reason to believe she's even doing this to her own kids. So, I mean, she's just a real dirtbag. The problem is that the local sheriff, we've had him involved for quite some time, and they won't press the issue and make the case unless they're absolutely sure that they can have something concrete to convict her on. And the difficulty is she's a very good little criminal, very good at covering her tracks. She goes to Burger King to commit her crimes because it's public Wi-Fi. And that's another thing I think will eventually be locked down. Because of these types of crimes, I think public Wi-Fi, you'll have to identify yourself on the internet because it's just too convenient for people to be able to commit crimes in public places using Wi-Fi. But anyway, that's when, you know, because there was evidence, she was actually going to the post office trying to intercept our mail. And so just as a precaution, all of us locked down our credit to make sure that she couldn't. And I recommend that for everybody out there. Even if you don't, you know, I think we're coming to a point where credit is going to have to be off by default. Right now we have a situation where everybody is able to go and request a loan. People are able to access your credit report, whatever. I mean, none of us asked for this. We didn't ask for these agencies, these companies. They're not agencies. Even I just did that, but people call them agencies, credit agencies or credit bureaus. They're not a bureau. They're not an agency. They are a private corporation which operates for its own profit, and it's collecting data on you for its own gain, for its own purpose. And they're tied in with the whole banking system. And I heard some security researcher by the name of Steve Gibson, whom I respect for security issues, but even he was saying that they are performing arguably a service for the public. I would argue with that. No, they are performing a service for the banks, but they're not.
Well, actually, it is arguable, because if you want, I'll tell you the days. I remember the days before there were credit cards, and it was darn hard to get credit. You had to go to, a bank wouldn't give you credit unless you were, you know, like middle-aged to senior citizen and had a home and everything else. But if you were just starting out, you'd have to go to a company called Household Finance, mm-hmm. and they would loan you like $300 or something. You know, it was almost like a microloan today. And if you paid that back, then you built up a credit history with them. Okay, with the beginning with the credit cards, I suppose that brought along the these credit bureaus, so that now if you need credit, you can get credit, and you can get it because they have a record of your credit history. So they are performing a service, actually.
Well, I think they're doing a pretty good job at servicing themselves.
Well, yes, they're profit-making business.
I understand
business.
The argument, but I have issue with the argument in and of itself, especially in light of everything that's been happening. I mean, they keep credit reports on everybody, whether or not you want them, anything, any kind of information. But I mean, they're not really in the.
It's not a service for you. It's not a service for you. It is a service for businesses. It's a business to business service.
You just made my argument for me. It depends on how you look at it, and we're hair splitting here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
if you want to buy a house, your credit history is very important.
Yeah,
that's the first thing they do, is check your credit history.
But I think CEOs, who's going to own the problem?
If you look at if you look at the whole big picture of automation of government systems partnered with corporations, it is one gigantic web or net that has been. Nobody is going to be able to move or breathe or do anything that isn't recorded and tracked and controlled in these systems.
Yeah.
That's why I do what I do, because I knew this a long time ago. I could see it. I could see it in every system that I looked at was integrated into another system. And what I saw was a big corporate control structure that's going to control every aspect of our lives, just like as if we are pawns on a chessboard and they are moving us around like the pieces on the board.
Yeah.
There will be no you'll have no control over your life whatsoever.
We were talking about the control grid, and I want to get back to that for just a moment, because anybody exposing corruption now is a target.
And thank you.
I was very disturbed to learn there is a judicial reform activist and radio personality by the name of Andy Ostrowski. Now, I had never heard of Andy. He looks like he might be a little bit on the leftist side of things. I don't know. But I don't really care where he's coming from. If he's really trying to fight judicial corruption, then we're on the same side. But he was dragged out of his house by the local police department and arrested with a warrant mandating that he get a mandatory psychiatric evaluation. The Janet Phelan wrote about this in Activist Post, and I won't read her article, but there is a, let's see, there's a scandal that took place in Pennsylvania where it was called the Corrupt Kids for Cash scandal. It was a judge, basically, it was a payoff scandal. Basically, a judge started a private prison for kids, and he was taking these kids and sending them off, and he was getting kickbacks from the private prison. Now, he ended up going to prison himself later on, but he destroyed 2,000 people's lives in the process. There was an article in the New York Post about this, and I'll put the link in the show notes. The point is that judicial tyranny, we talk a lot about it on the program here, it is a major problem. And when you got people trying to expose the corruption, now this is this Andy, he went live on Facebook when he was when he saw one of the police department officers jump his fence.
Okay, folks, I'm going live here at 2:44 p.m. because I just looked out my front door and saw the Wilkes-Barre police there. So I'm going to stay right here on this video until they come and tear me out of this seat. And I have done nothing wrong to anybody, and I had no intention of getting into talking about a bunch of stuff today. Everything is out there. I wanted to talk about some overriding policy issues. I just looked out my front door. I heard something out on the front porch, and I just looked out my front door, and I saw a Wilkes-Barre police officer on the front porch with Karen. And they think I'm going to talk about some stuff that I don't have an interest in really talking about. There's a lot that's going on around my life. There's a lot that's going on right now.
Okay, so he then kept talking about it for somewhat right around 8 minutes. Then the cops entered his home and arrested him on this warrant for psychological evaluation
and things on Facebook. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about this whole state of communication in this world. And thank you, folks. You know, there's a good number of you joining in already. And God, I can't tell you how much that really means to me. I know that right now, you know, if you go on my page, I look a little bit different right now than I do on my page. I let my hair grow. When I started letting my hair grow, I started saying, oh, it looks kind of goofy without a beard. So I'm growing a beard, you know, big deal. I think that people are like seeing even that is like something wrong with me because God gave me curly hair and, you know, I want to grow it. I don't have to answer to anybody. And you know, and it's just kind of like, I mean, I'm kind of being dramatic about some of the things that I'm doing, too, to get attention to some of these things. And like, kind of like, yes, sir, I have a police officer here right now. He's in my house. He didn't knock. Okay. He didn't enter. I have two police officers here with gloves and tasers, folks. I have two police officers with gloves and tasers. Wilkes-Barre Police, they have gloves on. Do you have a warrant?
Yes, we have a warrant.
Can I see the warrant as I sit here? Can I see it, sir?
Please stand
sir,
up.
I am on Facebook Live right now, okay. And there are 18 people. I'm not standing. I want to see the warrant.
Okay, listen, we have a warrant to take you into custody for a mental health evaluation.
They have a warrant to take me into custody for a mental health evaluation. Can I see the warrant?
Yes,
I haven't
absolutely.
Seen any other warrants.
First.
I am not. You came into my house illegally. Folks, you're seeing something play out here on Facebook Live that this is going to keep playing. This is going to keep playing out, okay. Guys. Who signed
please stand up for me?
No, sir. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to fight. I'm not for sure. I'm not going to fight.
And the stream went dead.
Jesus. You know, I'm actually worried about that sort of thing myself. But when you're in the whole technocratic tyranny, the Justice Department is at the center of it. And the thing about our justice system, that through the Bundy case and the Hammond case and all of that, I've seen that our justice top to bottom, it is absolutely corrupt, and there is no oversight on what happens in the justice system.
No,
and they are at the center of the technocratic tyranny.
It worries me.
It should. Because it should worry everybody.
When I see this happen, and I believe, if memory serves me correctly, I believe Pennsylvania had a law on the books. I remember, seems like, didn't Shirley Allen live in Pennsylvania? You remember the Shirley Allen standoff where this woman out there had an oil well on her property. Her relatives said that she needed to be looked at psychologically. She did act a little odd. She was a little eccentric, but they said she needed to be looked at. And there was speculation, and I'm not saying her relatives were guilty of this, but there was speculation that somebody wanted to get their fingers on her property because of the oil well that was there. Whether or not that was true, regardless, for whatever reason, whatever their motivation, the family says she needs to be looked at. And the authorities came and targeted her, and that's where the whole standoff with Shirley Allen began, because she wasn't willing to go with the police for her quote-unquote mandatory psychological evaluation. And mm-hmm. she resisted with force of arms.
Uh-oh.
And so consequently, that led to, I don't know, I forget exactly how many days, I think it was 39 days or something. Anyway, it was a long standoff. And this was a big thing in the Patriot movement at the time. People were mailing her water and everything because they were cutting off her electricity. They were cutting off her utilities, trying to force her out. And they shot beanbag bullets, rubber bullets at her. They shot tear gas through her window. They turned a police dog who bore its teeth on her. I believe she shot the police dog, if I remember right. But they destroyed her house. They destroyed her house and could very well have destroyed her. All because somebody said she needed to be looked at psychologically. Yeah. She hadn't committed any crimes, had done nothing against anyone.
She wasn't hurting herself or anybody else.
She wasn't a threat to herself or anyone else. But the point is that this is a case, and I believe that was in Pennsylvania. So people living in Pennsylvania should really be concerned about looking at that law, if in fact that's... But obviously, this is the kind of stuff I would imagine went on in the Soviet Union.
They have those laws in all the states. In Florida, I know it's called the Baker Act. And when people talk about it, they bakerize people. They have those laws in all states.
Well, it's a very alarming thing. This is the kind of stuff I would imagine went on in the Soviet Union.
Absolutely.
People being dragged out of their home for things that they say.
The dissidents were sent to psychiatric hospitals or to Siberia. That is one of the things that they did for people that were dissenters, is that they declared them mentally ill.
Well, we're not in a very good situation here in America today.
The world will hurt.
Yeah. Amen. And I hate to leave people on that note. That's a terrible
Well,
note.
Just keep your sense of humor. I mean, you know, it's so crazy. You can't, it's so crazy. You almost can't get upset because it's just too insane. I mean, you would go nuts. You would go ballistic. So keep your sense of humor and you'll be all right.
According to what's being said in the chat room, Andy's family are Scientologists.
And that gets
have admitted to being behind the no-knock raid on Andy's house. They have even commented such in the comments for the video. So I didn't see the comments on the video. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I want to look at that. That's really, that interests me a lot.
All the links will be in the show notes, and we'll have to talk more about what you wrote there on the next broadcast, because it's important stuff. Got a lot of audio that we didn't get to today, but that's okay, because there's always another broadcast, always another week, assuming that the end of the world doesn't happen like it's scheduled to.
But we'll all be waiting for it.
That's so. Right. You know, in which case, we won't have to worry about any of this, folks.
That's right.
All right, folks, keep your chin up, pray for this republic, do what you can to restore it. God bless each and every one of you, and join us back here next week if we're here, if we're all here.
And if we're not, we'll see you wherever you end up.
On the other
wherever
side.
Wherever we
in heaven.
I hope to see all my friends.
That's right.
Wherever it is.
God bless you, folks. Bye-bye.